You're listening to The Phil Hendry Show. This is The Phil Hendry Show, and this is America's Flyers Return, a special report. I am Phil Hendry.
And I'm David G. Hall, Vice President of Syndication.
And this is kind of an unusual broadcast for us.
Let me just jump in if I could, Phil.
Go ahead, David.
The reason why I am on the air with Phil here today is because, as I mentioned to you, Phil, your program is perceived as liberal, and our audience, we recognize most talk radio listeners, are conservatives. The fact that your liberal stance is killing your show has been... All right, you just want to comment on the news story?
Yes, I'd like to just comment on that. Not how my liberal stance is killing my show.
Well, the fact is, and we happen to know this, I want you to take a more conservative stance of the situation with the spy plane.
And I'm aware of that, and that's why we are on to talk a little bit about this and to talk about the story that the crewmen are about to be released and to return home.
Well, you got to make this relatable because more talk. Turn the music off. Have Craig
turn the music off, Craig. Go ahead.
You got to make this relatable because more talk radio listeners are conservative. You've got to come on here and say that President Bush did the right thing by apologizing to the Chinese.
All right, now here's what I didn't get in the meeting that we had. And you want to lay this out here on the air, right?
I don't care. Lay it out on the air because the listeners, it goes in one ear and out the other. They only remember what they are smart enough to remember.
Can we not insult them?
I'm sorry?
Can we not insult the listeners?
They're going to remember what we tell them to remember. Go ahead.
Going to remember what they tell them to...
Yeah, just go ahead.
All right, you want me to come on here and say that President Bush did a good thing by apologizing to the Chinese because otherwise Jesse Jackson was going to get the spotlight.
That's correct. It would have been another Jesse to the rescue bit. It's better for America to lose face to the Chinese. Phil?
Yes.
Are you writing this down?
Okay. It's better for America to lose face to the Chinese...
And to the world...
And to the world.
Than to have Bush's presidency stillborn at the hands of this rabble-rousing socialist.
Than to have Bush's presidency stillborn at the hands of this rabble-rousing socialist.
Now, conservatives are waiting for some good news on this president.
You want me to
Yeah, write it down.
Conservatives are waiting for some good news on this president.
You can give it to him.
All right. I don't necessarily understand all of the ramifications behind this, okay?
I'm telling you, this is what I want you to do today on the air. The guy is... President Bush apologized to the Chinese. A lot of people are going to be second-guessing him. And you, what you want to do is say it was a good thing, okay?
Well, who's going to second... I mean, okay, so the guy apologized, all right? Who's going to second-guess?
All of his boys, all his conservative boys. Because they, you know, didn't want America to look weak.
But you're telling me to tell everybody... I don't even understand what it is you want me to do.
I want you to tell everybody it was good for President Bush. Look, Phil, I'm already very tense and very on edge about this thing. I want you to...
I'm sorry.
Just listen. I want you to tell your listeners that it's good that we apologized. Otherwise, Jesse Jackson, okay, gets the spotlight.
Because he was going to rescue them.
Because he was going to go over and negotiate, yeah.
Okay.
And also, it's something you need to understand. Most conservatives, in fact, all good conservatives, would rather have every member of that EP3 crew, and this is going to be tough to understand for you, but I want you to hear me. Most conservatives would rather have every member of that EP3 crew stood before a Chinese firing squad and shot to death than have Jesse Jackson get 1 second of media spotlight over the...
No, wait a minute, man. I can't come on here and say that. That's out...
I'm telling you, you don't understand a conservative point of view.
Are you a conservative?
No, I'm not. What doesn't make any difference? This is what they want. All these people that are Bush fans, they want this. They want the guy to come out looking good because right now this guy hasn't done anything with his presidency other than screw everything up. Stock market down, recession talk, can't get a tax bill passed, guys over in China, we look like the stumble bums of the century. Now make him look good.
Look at David, this is all wrong, man, okay? First of all of the... Will you turn that music off? First of all...
I told you to get on your radio show and make this president look good. Do you understand what I'm saying to you?
I am not a...
I don't care if you're not a Bush supporter. I don't care if you're not a conservative. Do it.
David, this is my show, man.
Don't start. I said to do it because you're getting me mad. Now do it. Do it.
Okay, this is Phil Hendry, and President Bush, really, by apologizing to the Chinese, did a good thing because that means Jesse Jackson won't get the media spotlight. And I'm sure you would agree with me when I say to you that you would much rather have those young members of the EP3 crew even stood before a Chinese military firing squad than to have Jesse Jackson get one...
Do it.
Than to have Jesse Jackson get 1 ounce of publicity by going over there.
I'll give the phone numbers.
To call the Phil Hendry Show, our number is 1-800-449-8686. That's 1-800-449-8686.
I have Craig hit the music.
Hit the music, Craig. But it's on.
Go ahead, do it.
This is a special report of the Phil Hendry Show. Our flyers are home safe. I'm Phil Hendry. And I'm sure you would all agree that it's good that President Bush apologized to the Chinese for these flights. I'm sure that you would much rather see President Bush get these guys home himself than to have Jesse Jackson get the spotlight for doing it. In point of fact, I know all of you agree that we would much rather have these young flyers stood before a Chinese military tribunal and then shot before a firing squad than have Jesse Jackson. I can't say this.
Do it!
Then shot in front of a firing squad, then to have Jesse Jackson go over there and save him.
I give out the phone number again. By the way, I'm David G. Hall. I'm the Vice President of Syndication for the Phil Hendry Show.
1-800-449-8686. You don't think that people are listening to you giving me direction. You don't think that people are listening to me, listen to you telling me what my point of view is supposed to be on this thing.
Phil, I'm telling you, the selective listening of talk radio listeners, especially people who listen to talk radio, because they tend to, the educational level and intelligence level tends to dip when you get into talk radio. These people won't remember a thing. They remember what you tell them to remember. And I've been trying to teach you this now for 5 years. You tell them that what they should remember is that President Bush is a good guy, and they're not going to remember anything about me giving you direction. Now go ahead.
Yeah, President Bush is a great, he's a hero, he got him home, and that means Jesse Jackson won't get to be in the spotlight, and that's good, because I'm sure most of you would agree that Jesse Jackson getting these kids himself, we'd be better if they just stayed over there and became Chinese citizens.
That's a good touch.
It would be better if they just stayed there, became Chinese citizens, wore Mao suits, and started, like, working in rice paddies. Than to have Jesse Jackson come within 6,000 miles of them.
Beautiful.
And so, therefore, now that President Bush got him back, well, now he's done something right with his otherwise weak, meandering, slothful, unfocused, sometimes ridiculous, always funny presidency.
That was wrong, okay? And that's editorial.
Well, I got to say something here, okay?
That was editorial comment. Now take it back.
President Bush's really great presidency.
You know something, Phil? I'm trying to help you here.
David, you can't come on here and have me take on a point of view that isn't mine.
Look at Limbaugh does it every day on his show. Who knows whether he believes half the crap he says? It doesn't matter to these people, okay? They believe you.
Okay, so anyway, President Bush got him home. He's a great guy. 1-800-449-8686.
Good. Let the music establish.
Oh, man. 1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Hendry Show. We'll be right back in a moment. Phil Hendry Show.
You got the news music?
Yes, there's the news music.
This is the Phil Hendry Show. I'm David Hall. I'm Vice President of Syndication for the Phil Hendry Show. As we refocus the Phil Hendry Show to reflect the conservative attitudes of listeners across America. Phil?
Thank you, David. I think that President Bush getting these flyers back from China is better than Jesse Jackson doing it. Because President Bush he doesn't have to look bad.
Go ahead. It would be better for those Flyers to be enslaved in a geisha house than Jesse Jackson to get...
It would be better for those Flyers to be enslaved in a geisha house than for Jesse Jackson to get the credit of returning them.
That's right. Give the phone numbers.
1-800-449-8686.
Take a call.
Do you got to talk to me? Not...
Just take a call. You know something, Phil? We're wasting time.
All right, well, take a call. Carol, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hello, Phil?
Yes, ma'am.
What I've just experienced listening is the most...
Carol, could I ask you to hold on for a minute? Carol, could I ask you to hold on for a minute? Kill the music. Can we get the me turned up so callers can hear me on this bloody radio show? Every day I'm fighting with some noise on the board where a caller can't hear me.
Who are you talking to?
I'm talking to Craig. I asked the lady, she can't hear me. What is the problem? Let's get some engineers in here. Over the next 5 days, I want to have this problem solved forever. I never want to have to fight with listeners being able to hear me.
Who are you talking to?
I'm talking to Craig.
As long as you're not talking to me that way.
I'm not talking to you that way. Carol, forgive me. Go ahead.
Yes, I just got in my car. I'd like
Boy,
to tell you.
Boy, what a hard ass.
You're the one.
Who,
Could
me?
You be quiet, sir, and let me talk to Phil?
Well, I'm also here, too.
I know. I'd like to address that issue. Hearing you on the TV, on the radio, it was the most embarrassing, condescending, asinine thing I've ever heard anybody make anybody else do.
Wait, as far as your listeners... You're talking about me?
Yeah. As not
what did I do?
What you were doing to him, forcing him to say things. But I'd like to say one thing.
We're trying to get him to reflect the attitude of American people. People love
no,
this person.
No, you're not reflecting the attitude of the American people. You're reflecting...
So you're telling me
it's rudeness and it's not American people. And I'd like to just address one comment that you said, that people don't remember. They remember what you tell them. And the majority of the listeners to talk shows are, you know, their education. There are a lot of people out there like myself who have postgraduate degrees and are very, you know, into listening to some things.
Yeah,
but
sure.
I will tell you, I'm not listening to your show anymore when you're on there.
Can I just ask you something? Okay. You're telling me that you would rather have Jesse Jackson bring those guys home.
Then
is that what
you're
saying? So you
presented David.
Phil, would you
no,
shut
no,
up?
Dave, here's what I'm saying, David.
I want to make sure. Something.
Here's what I'm
Phil,
saying.
Phil, I'm asking Phil Hendry
David,
to shut
I'm
up
asking
while
you,
I... Go ahead.
Now, listen. Could you let me say one thing?
I wanted to say...
Just shut up, Phil, while I'm talking to the lady. Go ahead.
Now, here's what I'd like to say. That I think that the way that this was approached was the most condescending and the most embarrassing I've ever heard on talk show radio.
I agree,
not
ma'am.
The subject,
shut up,
but
Phil.
The way that it was handled, and that is very embarrassing.
Look, you
if
know
you
that
don't know
most
what
Americans,
you do,
most
it's
Americans,
no use to talking to you.
I gotta get
Goodbye.
People. Oh, there she goes, hangs up. Okay. What I'm saying is that most Americans would rather see these Flyers tied behind a truck and dragged through the streets of Beijing than to have Jesse Jackson bring them home. And
how can you say something like that?
Are you talking to me?
Yes.
Then I will ask you to lower your tone.
How can you say something like that?
Because I just did. Now take a phone call. Take a phone call.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Sherry on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, ma'am.
I have been a fan of yours for a long time, but until you change channels, I will not listen to you again. No one should be degraded like you've been degraded, and I totally disagree with
what... What are you blaming me for? He came on here and said this stuff. You blaming me?
So, oh, no, not at all.
I'm asking you, Hendry,
but I will
shut
not
up.
Listen to... A
Listen
station that is backed by an executive
ma'am,
with those opinions.
Ma'am, wouldn't you rather see those Flyers shot than have Jesse Jackson bring them home?
Absolutely not.
Well, what is... So, in other words, you're not a Bush fan?
No, I'm not a Bush fan. I'm a United
okay,
States
so
citizen fan.
Okay, so in other words, what
fan.
We got here... What we
and
got
how
here,
can you... How
the
can
liberals
you,
snuck in.
How can you speak for us?
I'm saying that most listeners
how
of talk
you,
radio... Because I do research, and I know that most listeners of talk radio have about an eighth grade education and voted for George Bush.
Then why are you working for one?
Now, why did you, how is it that you're listening? Did you get past the eighth grade? Because I don't know.
That's kind of an insulting question.
Well, I don't understand.
I don't understand what you're doing working for one if you have such low...
I work for a radio station that is trying to capture the feelings of the conservative listener. President Bush did the right thing by apologizing to the Chinese. I would rather have President Bush, and I don't want to offend anybody, okay? But I would have rather have President Bush drop his pants and get on all fours for the Chinese than have Jesse Jackson bring them home.
Oh, but you don't want to have America humiliated. Hello?
I'm appalled by
what?
The things that you're
you don't
saying.
What did I do?
I will be absolutely amazed if you have a job tomorrow.
If I have a what tomorrow?
If you have a job tomorrow.
Yes, I will. Is that what you asked me? Will I have a job tomorrow?
No, she said she'd be amazed if you had a job tomorrow.
Huh?
I will be amazed if you have a job tomorrow.
I'm having a difficult time hearing the caller.
I'm appalled by what you're saying, and I would say that most of us are.
Huh?
I don't care whether you're liberal,
all right,
conservative. It's ridiculous.
All right, Phil, is that woman still talking? Because I hear noise.
Yes. All right, Sherry, thank you for your call. 1-800-449.
What was wrong with her phone?
She had a little bit of a cell phone problem, okay? 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show. I am here with David G. Hall, and we are talking about the American Flyers, the EP3 Flyers, the pilot and crew members coming home from China.
And I'm David G. Hall.
Yeah, I got it. Basically, we are retooling our program as per a directive from the Vice President of Syndication that I should be more conservative and support President Bush. He got them home. Jesse Jackson didn't. And even if he were to have dropped his pants and get on all fours spread, it would have been better to have him get them home that way than Jesse Jackson bring them home. I can't understand this bias against Jesse Jackson.
Why are you turning this into a liberal talk show? Do it the conservative way that I told you.
Do you honestly think...
Listen to you. You can't even talk.
Do you think that it makes President Bush look good by saying he should drop his pants and...
I didn't say he should. I'm saying it would be better if he did than to have Jackson bring him back.
Here is Autumn on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Hello?
Yes, ma'am.
Hi. I would like to make a comment regarding what David is stating to you.
Go right ahead, ma'am. This is David Hall.
Yes, I think you're a very arrogant individual.
Could I ask you a question, ma'am? Could I ask you a question? Is the show better with this music or without it?
It's definitely better without.
Okay, keep it. All right, Craig, don't do it.
I told him not to.
Well, I'll tell him. I get to tell him, not you.
First of all, David, I would like to state that I have a doctorate degree. And from you stating that most people listen to radio talk shows are basically ignorant individuals.
Well, no, most of them don't get past the sixth grade. That's all I say.
Well, have.
Oh, okay.
And
all
I'm
right.
a very educated person, and I don't appreciate you making that comment.
Well, ma'am, it's part of the research that we did.
Let me finish, please.
It's part of the research.
Let me finish,
it's part of the research we did. You have to understand, I didn't just come up with that as an opinion.
Well, there are exceptions to the rule, just like
I find that hard to believe, man.
Nobody's talking to you, Phil. Nobody's talking to you at all.
No, actually, I am talking to Phil.
I told him to shut up. Go ahead.
I don't think you should talk to him in that manner.
David, the lady...
Phil, I said to shut
for
up.
For you to listen to the... And for you to be employed by this person would take a lot. Because
all
you know
Autumn,
what?
You're
if I
me.
Were you, I would tell him to take his job and shove it.
Well,
because you should not listen to what he has to say.
Tell him why
no
you can't do that,
Phil. No
one
should be talked to like that.
Good. Tell him why
no
you can't do that, Phil.
Be.
I can't
and,
do
and
it
David,
because
I
have
a
wife and
for you.
Four kids.
She's not even interested in your life, Phil. She just wants to run her mouth. Yeah, go ahead.
Excuse me?
Nothing. I didn't. Did I say something?
You just
yes,
insulted
you did.
Her.
No, I didn't.
You don't have to disparage
you did.
Me.
All right, let me ask you a question. You got a degree in what? You have a degree in what, ma'am?
I have a doctorate in psychology.
Now, the professors that you slept with, did they?
Okay,
excuse
that's
me.
Absolutely uncalled for.
Well, she said that she's conservative and she's got a doctorate. How's that possible?
You just
did
insulted.
Did I ever say that I was a conservative?
Okay, hold on for a minute here, Autumn. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show. This is the Phil Hendry Show.
I'm David G. Hall, Vice President of Syndication for the Phil Hendry Show. The American crewmen are flying home. Another great victory for our president, President Bush. Here now, Phil Hendry. Go ahead.
Our number is 1-800-449-8686. And our question this hour is, wouldn't you rather have seen those crew members shot by a Chinese firing squad than to have Jesse Jackson get the credit for bringing them home?
Oh, will you stop sounding...
I just don't like saying that, okay? And I don't like this whole retooling of the show in a conservative mode.
Look, the lady that you got on line one is a liberal. And...
Let me go back to the lady she was hanging on. Autumn, go ahead.
Yes.
You're a liberal, right, Autumn?
I never said I was a liberal. I'm actually an independent.
I agree
with a lot of things that are conservative, and I do agree with a lot of things that are liberal.
That's why you went to college. Most conservatives didn't get past fifth grade.
Most conservatives didn't get past fifth grade.
Right. And that's the research we've done.
Well,
okay,
David,
Autumn, we held you over hoping you'd be interesting, so get to it.
David, you're talking to a...
Are you a conservative?
What?
Are you a conservative?
No.
Did you graduate?
Hang up on her. She's boring me.
What?
I said to hang up on her. She's boring me.
I'm sorry, Autumn.
Hang up on her.
I'm sorry, Autumn.
I'm sorry, Autumn.
Just okay.
Just hang up on him and go to another call.
John, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, sir.
Not agree with the statement whatsoever. I think that you guys need to realize that the...
What statement?
Americans...
What statement?
Home.
What statement?
Your statement. Question, I should say. Should they be shot by a Chinese firing squad? No one should be shot.
I didn't ask that, did I? So you didn't get past the eighth grade. I asked, should they be shot by a Chinese firing squad instead of being brought home by Jesse Jackson?
Answer, no.
Well, thank you. And now that you understand the question.
Necessary.
So you want Jesse Jackson to bring him home?
Sure.
Are you a Republican?
No.
Let's get some Republicans on the phone. What the hell is Mike doing in there anyway?
He's screening phone calls, okay?
What?
What happened to the call?
I had him hung up on.
Look, I'm controlling the phone calls here.
No, you are not. Take another call.
1-800-449...
Oh, forget the number. Take a call.
Okay, here is Stephen.
This is going south.
You know, I'm going to walk off this thing in a minute. Yeah, go ahead, Stephen.
Yeah.
Ah, screw it. You know what? I'm getting out of here.
Where do you think you're going?
I'm getting out of here. This is ridiculous. Most ridiculous freaking thing I've ever done in my life. I'm quitting. Goodbye. I quit. Do you hear that?
Henry, you will not be allowed back in the building.
That's fine. Goodbye.
Okay, is he gone? I need somebody to, is Phil Henry gone? Was that a door slamming? Okay, I need somebody to give me a hand here at the station. Has Phil Hendry walked off of his show? Okay, this is David G. Hall, Vice President of Syndication for the Phil Hendry Show. I will fire Phil Hendry if he does not return to work soon. In the meantime, I'm a programmer. I'm not a professional entertainer. I don't know what you want me to do. I don't know what I should do. I can play. I happen to have a harmonica. Well, I'm long gone. Like a turkey through the corn. Oh, I can't. Let's go to break. I can't. Go to break. This is the Phil Hendry Show. The Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. I had to laugh recently. I had a program director call me and say, well, we want to carry Governor Gray Davis's speech about the state of the energy crisis in California. It'll be just 5 minutes of your show, Phil. But in the great tradition of our radio station, which is to mess around and play sound effects and belch and fart over the speeches that we carry live. Would you like to do that? And I had to say, well, I forget what I did say. I said, well, how long is it? It's 5 minutes. It would actually be through the news. I said, why don't you guys just do that and I'll be here? You know, because this grand tradition of us farting and belching through the speeches of politicians. In 1990, during the Clarence Thomas hearings, that's over 10 years ago now, I was playing dog barking and airplane crashing sound effects over those hearings. And I'll never forget, and I was up in Ventura at the time, and you could hear Ted Kennedy, and you are saying, Mr. Thomas, and blah, 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 and all that Anita Hill bullcrap. And through it all, I had, like, you know, dogs barking, you know, corks popping. I had automobile accident sound effects, you know, a leaf blower going, just crap. And I'll never forget the people. Well, we want serious news talk, and this is, you know, I just bug off. That's what I was doing 10 years ago. Now it's in the grand tradition of this radio. Well, that's what we do with all this stuff, right? And now it's like old hat. Now it's boring. So I don't want to be associated with it. I don't have anything to do with it. I don't want to have anything to do with a guy dropping his cutesy poo comments in the middle of some cat giving a speech. Just do that, okay? You guys straining for your comedy. Look, like I said, I can bomb on my own, man. I don't need your freaking material, too. If it sounds like I'm a little bent out of shape, I am. I'm particularly bent out of shape at that particular radio station that I'm talking about, which I will not refer to, because I have worked and worked and worked until my fingers are bleeding. I have worked my knuckles to the bone doing their laundry. And I am here to tell you that it's increasingly becoming a very difficult thing to be associated with. Anyway, so that was it. That was like 10 years ago, you know, with bombs blowing up and stuff. It was fun then. It's like, I don't want to do it anymore now. Hey, I got a great idea, Phil. Why don't you play belching in the middle of the... I did that. It's like people saying, why don't you get into a van with a microphone and drive all over town and see what you can find? I did that too. Everything that these cats want me to do today, I did 10 years ago in Ventura, California. I remember walking out of the studio and Al, who's working here at Premier now, he plugged in a little Marty unit in my Blazer, and I used to drive around Ventura with a microphone and look at all the crap that was going on. And then I rapidly found out that it's a bad thing to go out looking for crap, because if there's nothing happening, then you're just a guy driving around with a microphone. So you realize you learn, well, there's got to be something that I'm going to. I did it in Miami. You know, every Friday we'd go out and we'd hit the road. Well, if there's nothing happening, there's nothing happening. So you just don't go out and hit the road with a microphone. You got to have reasons for what you do. And you know what? I got reasons for what I do. People may not dig it, but I got very good reasons for what I freaking do here. Now, I wanted to make a comment about the racial profiling that's going on in Cincinnati right now. You guys got to stop that. And I ain't talking about white cops racially profiling black people. I'm talking about black people racially profiling white people. White folks are getting racially profiled. Because they're getting dragged out of their cars and have the crap kicked out of them. Why? Because they're white. They're getting racially profiled. Oh, you're white, you must wear a sheet. Okay. See, black people don't want to be racially profiled as a criminal by the police, because the black skin means criminal. Well, you know, some of these people driving through downtown Cincinnati these days, white skin means sheet-wearing Klansmen, means Aryan Nations, means asshole. Pardon my French. Excuse me. So you see what I'm saying? If you don't want it done to you, then don't do it to other people. This is ridiculous. Everybody racially profiles. Black folks racially profile white people. See, you're a symbol is what you are. You're no longer you. You're not who you are. You're not Mike. You're not Craig. I'm not Phil. I'm just white guy. I'm the white guy, which means I basically don't understand. And here's a kind of an interesting thought for you. If black folks say to me, because I'm white, well, you know, there's a history that we have with the white race, and so therefore we have reasons for feeling how we feel. It's not fair, maybe, Phil, to single you out, but it is based in some historical reality. Okay. Then the converse has got to be true. Well, it may not be right for the LAPD, for instance, to single out that Haitian surgeon from Miami because he has black skin as some kind of a criminal, but there are historical reasons for them to feel that way. Right? I mean, I don't know. Am I right or am I wrong? I think I'm right. So you want to start laying that on me about how, well, you know, historically the white race has been down on black folks. Well, historically, you know, black people have smoked a lot of crack and, yeah. Am I right or wrong? I'm probably wrong. So that's just one thing to be thinking about when you're thinking about all that crap that's going on in Cincinnati, which we are going to talk about a little bit later on in our program. And then I also wanted to mention something about the writer's strike. This is all real heavy stuff. Maybe I shouldn't say anything about this. Just other than this, the writers are going out on strike in Hollywood, and these are the people that write TV shows. And the reason why they're doing this is because over 40 years ago, writers were blacklisted, writers were committing suicide, writers were not getting jobs. Writers were pretty much screwed back in the 50s when President Eisenhower and his collection of Republicans decided that they wanted to basically destroy anything artistic in America, and they started with Hollywood. And that meant blacklisting writers, and that meant suicide and not working and careers ruined. These guys haven't forgotten. That's why they're hard asses. That's why of all the entertainment unions, the writers are probably the toughest, especially these East Coast guys, because they remember how nobody came to their defense, nobody came to their aid, including, I hate to say it, I don't want to be a, but the actors who really bent over and spread, along with the directors, too. So if you wonder, if you're in the entertainment business or whatever, and you're wondering, well, what is this writer's strike, Hollywood crap? And why are these guys hard asses? They make plenty of money. I'll tell you why they're hard asses. Because over 40 years ago, these guys were getting run out of town on a rail by these committees back in Washington that wanted to clean up America for Leave It to Beaver and Donna Reed. So what do you think about them apples? Why? I wonder why I'm in a bad mood today. I felt good coming in here. You know what it is? I got a hypoglycemic condition. This diet that I'm on, you can blame that. I really apologize, folks. I didn't mean to get on your case. If you're black, if you're an actor, you're okay with me. It's this diet that I'm on, this Weight Watchers. I need to eat more because now it's beginning to kick in. Now I'm not eating enough, okay? I'm thinking I need a little bit more, I don't know, just maybe a bowl of pasta every 3 hours. Some pesto every couple of hours just to keep it. No, actually, I do. I need protein. What happened was I got up this morning, weighed myself, 238. Thank you very much, but I feel like crap. And, no, I think I'm losing weight maybe too fast or whatever, but I'm hungry all the time. And, no, I'm 238 and a half. And today I had my breakfast of a Boca burger with cheese on two slices of light bread. And then I had for lunch, I had some ahi tuna and I had a salad from across the street with balsamic vinegar. By 2 o'clock, I was dying. I was really hungry, man. So I said to Mike, I said, I got to get some food. So I called up El Pollo Loco because they got a big banner hanging out there. We deliver. And I called them up and I said, do you deliver? They said, no, sir. I said, well, thank you. So, no, they did deliver, although I had called them once before and asked if they delivered. They said, no, they didn't. I said, well, how come the banner says you deliver? They said, there's a banner? Yeah, it's right outside your restaurant. So they brought me over a three-piece chicken thing, man. It saved my rear end. Then Mike went downstairs and got me a couple of these Tiger Milk bars. I'm going to have to start eating more protein throughout the day because I felt like real bad, tired. And I'm working out now every day, 40 minutes a day, man. I'm sweating it, and these pants are falling off of me. I mean, see, what happens is you lose the weight really fast. At 266, I started losing it at 4 and 5 pounds a clip every week. Now I've slowed down to about a pound to 2 pounds a week, which is very healthy. And now the clothes are hanging off of me, and people get a little. My wife said to me, "Oh, I know you're losing weight. Why is that, honey? Your face isn't as fat as it used to be." I said, that's a hell of a deal. She says, yeah, seriously, you must have lost 10 pounds in your face. You know, some women lose weight, they lose it in their breasts. Some guys lose it in their rear end. I lose it in my face. My face isn't as fat. Imagine if my face stayed fat, but the rest of my body got skinny. I don't know what that would look like, but somebody in the hallway commented that I was looking much thinner, as in unhealthy or as in better. As in better? Who was it? Mike is telling me that someone in the hallway today, Dina? I don't think I know Dina, but I am, yeah, I'm wearing, and the other thing that happens when you lose weight, and this is a great thing, you don't dread getting dressed in the morning. When I was fat, I would look forward to getting dressed with, I gotta find some clothes. I don't know what I'm gonna wear. What shirt looks good hanging out? Because I can't tuck it in. And so it was horrible. Now I'm like, actually, it's cool to go, and if I can get all these clothes that I could never get into when I was a tub of guts, I can start getting back into them again. And there was that one special pair of jeans that I kept hanging in the closet, and I'd eyeball them every day. I'm going to get into those babies again. And I got into them last week. Did. They were a 46-inch waist, and I got down enough so I could get into them. I'm joking. They're about a 34, actually. No, they're 36. So that's the real cool thing, getting dressed, pirouetting in the mirror in a pair of thong underwear. It's the kind of things that a man likes to do, It just, I feel good about it. I'm feeling strong. And now getting dressed in the morning is a joy, slipping into, yes, okay, if she's not home, some of my wife's clothing. Things you can experiment. You can go places that you've never been before. Oh, man. So I think that's been with them my problem. Yeah, flexing in the mirror. Do you do that? You like to flex? Yeah, flex what? I'm still sucking my gut in, man. That's how I flex. Hey, you want to see this? Yeah, watch this. Suck your freaking gut in. No, I'm feeling good, and I don't know how I'm looking. Last night we went to the sushi bar, our very favorite Landing Sushi Bar and Grill. Boy, is that joint getting packed. I keep mentioning, is that why? You people stay away. It is tremendous. Went over there. Big John had his birthday party. I didn't know it was his birthday party. I barely know John. But we get over there, and one of the big guys that hangs out there, this biker named Matt, he's walking around with a bottle of sake, forcing people to drink it. So naturally, I had to. And, oh, well, one thing led to another, and I was dancing on a table. So then I came home. Oh, I got home last night. I said to my wife, we got to have some sushi. I got to get some protein. How many points of sushi?
It's 4 points for 2 pieces.
Okay, great. Let's go get some. So we went, we got some, and it was great. It's a delicious way to live, man. Thank God for Hamid and that sushi bar. Because some of these sushi bars lately, man, I don't want to mention any names, okay? I don't want to talk about any specific places like the one across the street from us here in Sherman Oaks. But I wanted to say, I'm joking, they're fine. Sort of. But some of these joints that leave that sushi laying out for a half hour, no thank you. What do I want to go and eat that for? I want it fresh. I want that fish caught and carved up within 5 minutes. That's what I want. And then you put it on the rice cake and you're living large. But seriously, man, what I look like was fading today, man. So what I'm going to do now is I'm bringing to work not only my sandwiches that I have, but a little mid-afternoon snack. Just a small side of beef, something. Just a few, maybe about 6-7 dozen ribs. To kind of keep myself floating through the afternoon. And we will continue to chronicle this weight loss, which, as I said, is at 238.5. In 7.5 weeks, I have lost almost 30 pounds. 28 pounds I've lost in 7.5 weeks. I should be dead. I feel great. My blood pressure's down. My pulse rate is normal. I don't want to mention anything about anything getting actually larger on me, but it has. So 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.